Hello and welcome to Lost Skills Podcast, where we believe if the women don't find you handsome, they should at least find you handy. And today's episode is episode 30. And before I get started today, I'd just like to say, boy, I never really thought it would make it to episode 30. I didn't know how far the show would go and I didn't know how many people would listen. I just figured I'd wanted to start it and see what happened, and I'm thankful that it's going as good as it's going. And I'm especially thankful for all of you out there that are listening. I can honestly say I've learned a lot while doing this show. There are a lot of things where a person just does them, and I never really think about how they get done, but now that I've been writing all this out, I've definitely taken notice to all the things it does take to get a project done. Sometimes you're in such a hurry to get something done that you never really notice the small and fine details. So with that, I'd also like to say that this show is your show. If there's anything that you'd like to hear about or something that you'd just like to get my take on, send me an email or write it in the show notes or put it on my Facebook page, anywhere you can get a hold of me, and I'll give you my honest answer of what I think would be done. And also, if it's a really good topic, maybe it'll be covered for a show. But anyways, before I begin, I just wanted everybody to know that I appreciate them listening, and that you guys keep me motivated into making these shows each week. So with that being said, let's get into our main topic, which is setting up your home workshop. After I got my garage set up, I was kind of sitting around thinking what I wanted things to look like and how I wanted them set up, and it is very important when you do things like that because it ultimately affects how you store things and where you're going to work on stuff and how everything's organized. So I think a considerable amount of thought should be put into where you're going to put things. I think a person should put an equal amount of thought into making their workshop as they would of how they were going to place their garage or their garage doors or their windows or anything like that when they're building a building. I had a friend that built a garage and oh my god, it was the worst thing ever. He just wanted to put one big door in and then he put it on the sidewall, and his plan was to push the car sideways on car dollies to put one car in the garage. And it was like, oh my god, what a horrible floor plan. But I couldn't talk him out of it. So now he has to live with it, and he doesn't quite like it either. But that's why you need to put a good amount of thought into things before you do them. And I really don't want to make my friend sound out to be a dummy here, but he's a really smart guy. And when it comes to building stuff, he's a really good person to build things, but every once in a while he just kind of does something that's harebrained. I don't know what it is about him. But anyway, back to the task at hand. When you first start designing how you want to set up your workshop, the first thing I did was I made an actual floor plan of the garage. And then I kind of drew where I wanted my workbench, and then I drew where I wanted my drill press and my bench grinder. And, you know, my toolbox and my air compressor, and I set everything up where I wanted it. And this is a very important step because first off, you can figure out where you want things and how they would look laid out, and then you can do this without even putting an outlet in the wall, so you might just want to wire the outlets a certain way. So it helps to have where you want everything to be before you start even doing the electrical wiring in your building. Another nice part about doing this is that all you have to do to move something is to take an eraser and erase it off the piece of paper or just draw a new drawing. But it sure is a lot better than lugging that big 60-gallon air compressor around my shop until I find where it has its new home. And the fact is that even if you do sit around and you think about it for quite a bit, you may even still end up moving an air compressor, slide your workbench down 10 feet, or something like that, but it gives you a general idea where to start. Also, another benefit of laying everything out ahead of time is you can devise where you want your storage areas in your workshop to be. And they're a lot easier to move around, like I said before, without having all this stuff in the way, when you can just take a eraser and erase the lines out and take the square that says storage and move it 20 feet. Because you never know what might be in your storage area. Maybe it'll be a shelving unit, maybe it'll be a bunch of totes stacked up. I mean, after you put it there and you don't like it, it might be a pain to move everything to where you think it would be better. when you're doing this, you should also consider which tools are going to be in permanent locations, like if you have chop saws or table saws or bench grinders, drill presses, anything that's going to be in a permanent place. My table saw and chop saw and stuff isn't what I consider to be a permanent thing. I just kind of take them out and I use them. But some people use them a lot and they just want to keep them out. So that's the time when you devise an area just for that tool. Now the other thing you need to think about is clearances. When you got a drill press, say you're drilling a hole through a piece of 8-foot pipe, you don't want it smacking the side of your toolbox 3 feet away. Same thing goes with the chop saw and the table saw, is you want there to be rooms for when you're doing the work that you can actually do the work. Like you could probably put a chop saw and a drill press right next to each other because odds are you won't be using them at the same time. And that if you have an 8-foot piece of pipe, you can just set it through the opening for the chop saw and still use the area. Now, after you have everything where you think it's going to be permanent and the things that you think aren't going to be permanent, now is the time to figure out where your electrical lighting will be. What I did is I took, I actually drew it out and I placed the lights in the way I thought that they would be the most efficient. And I actually drew it out a couple of different ways and then I just kind of settled on the way I liked the best, which is the lights in a row. And I had two rows that went the length of my building. But, you know, you could stagger the lights or you can turn them 90 degrees so they run with the width of the truss. And there's all different ways that you can mount your lighting. And they would be just as efficient. It just depends on what you want and how you want it laid out. And you might want to have it where you're going to wire in some lights above your workbench and stuff, and it's all kind of nice to have it all planned out ahead of time so that when you're doing the actual wiring, you can just kind of refer back to your drawing and see exactly where you wanted your lighting to go. When I actually did this step, I did draw out all the lighting, and then I drew out an electrical, and I put everything in electrical boxes because I bought the fluorescent lights where you can just plug them into a receptacle. So that way, if the light ever goes bad, it's just easy. I crawl up there and I can unscrew it and unplug it from its box and then put a new light up. But when I did it, I forgot to even put in an area for my workbench for lighting. So one of these days, I actually have to go back up there and put some new wiring in, and I want to put a couple of lights right above my workbench. And that just goes to show you that even though you do try to think of everything, you can't always think of everything, because there are times in my workbench it's kind of dim and it kind of sucks. I mean, there's enough light there, but two more 4-foot fluorescent lights above my workbench would have been way better. But I actually didn't even have a workbench built until this year, and I think my garage has been up for 2 years now, and I finally got around to building myself a nice workbench instead of the makeshift things that I've had laying around all the time. So I figure it's about time for me to get up there and get a couple of lights put up and put them on a separate switch and all that. But I guess I'm getting a little bit off of the subject here. So let's get back to it. But also another thing for mapping out where your wiring and stuff is going to go is you can figure out how much wiring you actually need. So you can know what size spool of wire you want to buy. So now let's talk a little bit about storage of your tools. When you're doing this, you can also figure out where your workbench is going to be, so you can also figure out where you want to put up like pegboard or shelving or anything like that. So with the pegboard, you could just put a sheet of pegboard up on the wall, and then you can hang all your tools on there, and it'll help keep everything nice and tidy and organized. I know a lot of times this is easier said than done, but when you have the pegboard on the wall, you can plan where you want your outlets, whether they come through the pegboard or you're going to have it on each side. Or maybe you want to hang up multiple sheets of pegboard to store all your tools. But I do think that you should set up at least one piece of pegboard so you can hang up some of the things you don't use all the time. Like, even though I do work on cars and stuff in my garage, I don't use my grease gun all the time. And grease guns are kind of messy and stuff, and you don't really want them hanging around in your regular toolbox, so I just hang mine up on the pegboard right on the very edge where I can reach it really easy. And you can also take your wrench sets and you can just label the pegboard what sizes are what and put little pegs, and you can hang up all your wrench sizes and have a set of wrenches hanging there for quick and easy reference if you just need a wrench for a minute or something like that. You can also have your regular ones in your toolbox, but, you know, just like an extra set. And I sometimes end up hanging like little car parts, like thermostats and stuff like that, where you buy them off the shelf at the parts store and they're hanging up. I hang them up on the pegboard sometimes so I can see that I got a spare right there. Another item you want to take into consideration is shelves. Where you want shelvings, if you want to store stuff or if you want to just put your tools on shelves like sawzalls and grinders and chop saws and circular saws and stuff like that. I have one little shelving unit that I got free from someone that's dedicated just for mostly my power tools, you know, corded and non-corded, are sitting on the shelf, so that way I know where they are and I could just easily walk over there and go grab one. Another thing is like if you work on cars like me, you might want to have one of them small shelving units sitting around just for some extra automotive fluids and, you know, like oil and antifreeze and oil filters, gear lube and extra tubes of grease, and any other things of that variety. That way you know where everything is right away. You can look to see, oh wow, I need some antifreeze or maybe some windshield washer fluid. Next time I'm at the parts store, I'll pick some up. You know, you can also look to see how many oil filters you got for a certain car. I usually have 2-3 oil filters sitting around for my trucks because I got 2 of them that take the same filter. It's just a matter of convenience, really. That way you can just kind of look and you have your own little inventory of parts and coolants and stuff like that that you can just replace as you need them. Another thing you want to really think about is your toolbox placement, where you want to have your tools. You don't want to be working on a car and have to walk halfway across your garage to get the tools. When you're working on a car, you should step away from the car about 10 steps. You should probably be to your toolbox. And the reason I know that this is important is because when I used to live with my parents, we didn't even have a garage, but I had a rollaway toolbox and I kept it in my bedroom. Well, I lived in the basement of the house and there was always there's an outside access door. So when I worked on a car, I would pull it up either by that door or if I had it right in a regular driveway, I'd have to quit working on the car, walk to the door, which is however many steps, walk down all the steps, which was about 10 or 15 regular steps, walk across the basement into my room to get a wrench, and then I would go back. And then if I got the wrong wrench, it was a whole nother walk back to, you know, get another wrench. So the point really is that try to make that as quick as possible, because otherwise you're wasting a lot of time walking. Oh, it used to frustrate the hell out of me when I had to go and get different tools and stuff because there was no really good way of doing it. My rollaway, you just couldn't roll up the steps of the basement and stuff. And yes, for anybody that thinks that was kind of weird, I had a rollaway toolbox in my bedroom, but that was the only place I could have it because we didn't have a garage. So another thing you might want to consider is plumbing in airlines if you have an air compressor. And all it is really personal preference. If you don't mind getting out an air hose and uncoiling it every time and plugging it into your air compressor and running it over to the car, that's not a big deal. If you're not working on cars all the time or if you're not painting or something like that where you're using air tools all the time, just one air hose might be plenty as long as it reaches all the way, you know, to the other side of your garage, and maybe you have another one plugged into it so you can get out of the garage to pump up a tire out in the front. But for anybody else that really uses airlines a lot and stuff, it's nice to just kind of have a 10 or 15 foot air hose and you can just walk over to a part of your garage and plug in. So there are a lot of different ways you can plumb in some airlines. First off, I would go back to the drawing a diagram of what you actually want and everything. That's where I always start with everything usually. But you can just plumb an airline out of regular black pipe that you can get at Menards or the hardware store. and then just get fittings at the end of every one. But when you do it, make sure that you put in like a T-joint and you run a 6-inch pipe down below where you're actually going to pull the air off of, and you put a drain on that so you can drain out any water, because that's where the water will collect. Now, a while back, I seen one of them garage plumbing kits that you could buy out of a catalog, and I don't know if it was Eastwood or another place like that, but I remember seeing it, and it was a kit where you could plumb your garage, and you didn't even need any tools besides something to cut the plastic tubing. Everything snapped together. And it was kind of expensive, but then again, black pipe is expensive. So it might be a viable option for doing it. For somebody that doesn't want to sit around and thread black pipe and Teflon tape all the connections or use that pipe goop and all that, it might be a way quicker alternative. I would think it would be definitely faster to install the snap together tubing than it would to be to put in black pipe, but I think black pipe would probably last longer, just for the simple fact as if you end up tugging on an airline or something and you kind of get one of them fittings that are kind of bad or something, you'd have to call the company and order another fitting and then wait for them to ship it to you, where if you used a piece of black pipe, you could just undo it, go down to the hardware store and get another piece of pipe or a fitting or whatever and just screw it in and be done probably the same day. Now, I saw something else that was pretty interesting to me, which was I read an article somewhere, and I can't remember where it is, so I couldn't even probably look it up for you, but they recommended that you could plumb in air in a garage using PVC pipe, and I do believe it was for the single stage air compressors, which only go up to 125 PSI. But if you look on the side of PVC, it is pressure rated, and I can't offhand think of what the pressure is, but it does say. And the person who did the article had plumbed their whole garage with regular PVC pipe, and he had it all strapped to the wall and everything, and it looked like it was a fairly nice system. I mean, it would be really easy to put together and all that, but the only problem is I live in northeastern Wisconsin, and it gets kind of cold here, and I think that maybe PVC would get a little brittle, but then again, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I couldn't attest to it. I've never seen anybody around here that actually ever did it, but that's also an option to think about. If you live in a warmer climate, I think that would probably be just fine, as long as you are mindful just not to, you know, when you run out of cord, just give it a yank or something so that you would break it. And you'd probably want to use like inch and a quarter PVC, because that would give you a really good flow, and then it would have quite a bit of structural integrity. Maybe I'll have to do a little experiment this year and strap a piece of PVC to the wall like that, wait for it to get good and cold during the winter, and then give it a yank and see if the piece breaks off or not. That might be an interesting little project to do. Now, another consideration that I've been thinking about doing, and I have it figured out my plans, was to put in a sink out my shop so that I can just wash my hands out there so I don't have to walk into the house with greasy hands. And I know, like I just said, I live in northeast Wisconsin, so I would only be able to use that sink pretty much in the spring, summer, and fall, but that's quite a bit of the year. In the winter, I would have to drain all the water out. And basically what I was just going to do is get a stainless sink, which someone gave to me, and then put a faucet on it, and I was going to put a water in a 55-gallon drum about 5 feet in the air outside my garage, and then just run the sink out to the back. But it's just something I wanted to throw in there so that you had time to actually think about it if you were setting up a shop, what you would want to do. I just think it would be a whole lot nicer to be able to wash your hands up, even at least a little bit, so you don't have to sit there with Fast Orange and then wipe your hands off and then go in the house and finish washing your hands up or something like that, you know. The next thing when you're setting up your workshop is you want to plan where you want your windows and what size you want. When you were building the garage, you probably should have took this into consideration, but like for me, when I took the garage down, it didn't have any windows in it, and then I brought it to my place and put it up, and it still doesn't have any windows. But I want to put some windows in for ventilation and so that I can take the benefits of a little bit of natural lighting. Now, you may want to have your windows by your workbench or something. If you're going to do something that involves chemicals by your workbench, that way you could stick a fan in your window and blow it out. But like in my garage, I plan on putting two windows on one side and then two windows on the other side. That way I can run two box fans and blow the like paint fumes out one window and then have it suck fresh air in the other windows. Now, you don't want your windows to be too big because someone could break them and easily crawl into them. But I was going to get windows that were about the same size as a box fan. That's what my friend did in his place. And when we painted one of my cars, it worked awesome for blowing the stuff right out the windows. The only problem I have with putting windows in is that you have to secure them somehow. Which means you might want to go get a section of like cattle fencing or whatever, the small square panels they use for pigs or something, and cut a piece of it and then secure it to your window so that nobody can just get in your garage. Or you might not want to put windows at all just so that nobody can see what you have in your garage. But I would recommend some kind of security if you put the windows in. But that's pretty much all I have for today on setting up your home workshop. I'm sure there are a few things I forgot, and there are a few things that people could add that are probably better ideas than what I have, but that's all I can really think of. That's what I'm doing around my place, so I just wanted to share that with you. I mean, there are probably people out there that might be building garages and want to set things up, and this is just kind of an easy way to get you started. And that's really the focus of this podcast, is to get you started on doing things, because I can't tell you exactly how you should be doing anything. My focus here is to get you aware and to get you started on doing things, and then you can do the research and maybe take my way and find another way and put the two together and make your own way. And with that being said, I hope you all enjoyed today's show. And this is Jeff Radke signing off, and until next time, keep your stick on the ice.